Do you use a mousse or gel shogger?
I use like a paste. One of the round things, like a paste.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of like a paste thing. I tried this like powdery stuff. Like really, it's like a fine powder. I had mixed results with that. Whatever I can try to make it look a little thicker up front, I'm willing to try, and I'm not having a lot of luck.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised that the dust didn't make it look thicker. As a guy who doesn't have hair, that's shocking.
Yeah, I don't know if Judge has any great tips for like a more full look in the front, because I feel like he's the guy to ask.
Right now, he's really trying to grow his out. Right, he's kind of like having it, and you know how some guys have comb overs. He's got a comb front right now. He's just trying to grow it out longer and longer in the front. So when he walks the plank, it'll be fun to see.
Now, is he in his car on the way home right now? Probably.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay. So he's probably sitting there guffawing at this and agitated at us somewhat, I would guess. Hey.
No, not really. I think he's kind of par for the course. I can't wait to see when he walks the plank with you, just what the video is going to show of his hair. That, to me, is the thing to be watching for.
I think he's going to have a big old helmet on. I think we both will. I might come in full shoulder pads and hockey gear. I don't know, man. Anything to make me feel more secure and safe.
Nice. If you guys want to get in on making Strutty and Rashogger walk the plank to help kids sport, send me a text at 10-12-60. I'll send you the link where you can donate. And our goal is to raise $750 every day. We need about $200 more here today to get to our goal of $750. So text in at 10-12-60 or email me at jgregor@tsn1260.ca. Now, Shogger, lots of interesting things. The St. Louis Blues shed $4.3 million from their salary cap. Montreal acquires a goalie, so they don't have to run Carey Price into the ground. But I look at a guy like Matt Murray, and if you can get Jake Allen for a third and a seventh, and you give up a seventh, so basically it's for a third, right? Is a 2-7 switch 2 years apart? If Pittsburgh came to you and said you could get Matt Murray for a third-round pick, which would essentially be the Oilers keeping the James Neal third-rounder this year, giving their third-rounder in 2021 to Calgary, would you trade that third-round pick for Matt Murray?
And as we're talking, I'm pulling up his contract scenario.
He's an RFA, made $3.75 million last year.
RFA, 3.75. And his numbers were not very good last year, were they, at all?
899 save percentage in the regular season, 914 in the playoffs.
Just looking at that now, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like his experience, and I like the fact that he's had success and that he's won. I think he's young enough that he's still got lots of room to bounce back if it was an off year. The number fits with Koskinen in terms of the total amount that you're willing to spend on your goaltending. It's probably more than you'd ideally want to, but if you can give yourself a chance at having somebody, you know, somebody that can compete and push for that number one spot, it's a little more than I think they probably would like to spend on another goalie. But that third, just got no picks, man. They got no picks. Just continue trading picks. I think they're going to try and recoup some picks heading into this year's draft. So, but they do need to fill. They do need to fill a need on the goaltending front. I can't help but wonder if free agency isn't the way they do that, because that's just money out
as opposed
to money and picks, right?
Yeah, no, that's
totally
valid.
For goalies, so I don't know. I could see them keeping their powder dry with the picks and just trying to land somebody in free agency.
No, that's totally fair. And I look at Matt Murray just because that's a guy where I see what Jake Allen went for. I think that kind of sets the bar for what Jim Rutherford, if he's going to get anything for Matt Murray, what he will get for him or not. And, you know, the other thing is he'd have to qualify him first, right? That's the, you know, maybe they just let him go. Who knows, depending on it. So it'll be quite interesting to see what plays out there. Goaltending right now is a talk of the town because you saw what Thatcher Demko did last night. Basically kept the Vancouver Canucks alive by himself as his teammates elected to him be a shooting gallery, and then they scored two goals. I would guess maybe that he's probably going to go in game six. But you have Hutchinson tonight. What's your feel on that? Like, I don't expect Colorado to score five goals in the first period again, but do you think the Avs, like, is Dallas rattled at all after game five?
No, I mean, I think what you need from Hutchinson is you just need him to go in there and be steady and not let any in that he shouldn't, and just be steady for them. I think this Colorado team, excuse me, I think this Colorado team is good enough that if they just get steady goaltending, they're going to have a chance here. They just can't have the goaltending kicking their feet out from underneath them like they had previously. So just give them a good game. I think Dallas has to take them seriously. They have to be a little shell-shocked about what happened last game. And so, yeah, I think, listen, if it looks like Hutchinson's got his game and looks like he's playing well, we got a series, man. You give Colorado a goalie, and we definitely got a series here. So let's see how it goes. He gave him a good performance, needs to give him another.
The Philadelphia Flyers, Ray Farrar, we had him on earlier, and he said, the concern for other teams is that eventually the dam might break and the Flyers' offensive guys, who collectively have all forgotten to score, will start scoring. You had Giroux and Van Riemsdyk, and they did what their coach asked, put on their big boy pants. And I just, you know, I wonder if that gives them a glimmer. Or do you think, you know what, it's the Islanders, and they're just so committed to playing their system that it's going to be hard to beat them three games in a row?
It's going to be hard to beat them. It's going to be hard for them to get through this. And I just think the Islanders are just dialed in too well into what their game plan is, the way they're supposed to be playing. I mean, they can throw, you know, any one of their three lines, their top three lines for sure, and their fourth line's usable too. They can throw any of those guys out there and expect a certain amount of production. Like, they've just been he just has them coached up so well. So I think it's probably too much to overcome. We'll see. Love watching Carter Hart go through this. Love watching him have this experience. He's such an incredibly bright future, and watching him face these challenges. Hey, some he'd like back, some amazing saves. It's fun to watch a young goaltender going through all of this. But at the end of the day, I think New York is just too dialed in on the way they want to get things done. And even when they were down, they just find a way to click in and find the goals that they need. You know, some nights it's enough, other nights it's not quite, but it's very seldom. It just seems to me it's not that often where they play a terrible game.
Well, everybody buys in there. And I liked how Ray explained the consistency. He said, you look at Barry Trotz. On a night, Matt Barzal is their best player. If he's not playing the way the coach wants, he doesn't play. He plays 13 minutes a night. And then Ray says, and players are smart. They're like, well, if I want to play 19, I'll play what the coach wants. And a lot of coaches just, they're not committed to doing that. Right now, you need a GM who is on the same page as you, and so is Lou Lamoriello. And I look at organizations where a coach comes in, he wants to go somewhere, and suddenly your best player or something pushes back or doesn't like it, and then they don't want to, you know, they don't want to offend him, so they just allow him to cheat around the corners, and suddenly that is 2% cheat, and then another guy's cheating a percent, and then suddenly your system breaks down. Because if you look at Trotz in New York, they don't really have that very often, yeah. Right? Like, the guys know you have to play this way or you don't play.
Well, and this is the thing. So if you're a coach that wants to employ that type of standard, don't care what the name across your back is. If you're not bringing it, then you're not going to play that much. A lot of guys will tune that coach out. A lot of times there'll be a rift between the star players and the head coach, even if they're supported by management. But Barry Trotz, through his years in Nashville, and just by virtue of the guy that he is, he's known to be an excellent communicator. And so when you communicate with players, when they understand where they stand and what you want from them, you can do things like that and not have a room or guys turn on you necessarily. So I think Barry Trotz goes out of his way to make sure his players understand exactly what he's looking for. And I think that allows him to do things like what Ray was talking about and what we see. And so players, I think, just have a lot of respect for his experience, for his openness and honesty, and it buys him the space he needs to coach the way he wants, especially when it matters the most. And I just think he's an excellent, highly experienced coach, and they're getting huge benefit from his knowledge and experience.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. Shogger, one last one for you quickly. You look, you know, the CFL today, massive, you know, layoffs, furloughing a lot of people. What, What's your thoughts on the CFL? Like, I understand why, right? They're not bringing in any revenue now. Lots of businesses are doing it. But what do you think has to happen for the CFL to play next year?
Well, I think you need to be able to plant butts in seats firmly. You just have to be able to bring their main source of revenue back. People need to feel safe to go sit in stadiums and watch football. I think the deal between TSN and the CFL is not it's not the type of deal that will allow the whole league to just continue functioning. They have to sell tickets. So we need to get through this COVID situation. One of the benefits that the CFL has is that they're not relying on any American markets, and they're not relying on any travel between U.S. and Canada once players have all come north. So that's advantageous to them, but you need the public to be able to buy tickets and go sit in the stands and cheer on their football team. And hopefully, and I know this is a hot topic politically, and I don't necessarily want to dive right into that, but hopefully we get through this relaunch of school without any form of massive setback. And hopefully the situation as it relates to COVID can head in a good direction, and by the time they need to get set and get going again, people can throw their bank card down and spend money and go watch a football game, because I think people will want to. I think people will are looking for, because they're not necessarily looking to jump on planes and go south, but they're looking to do things, and I think the CFL could benefit from that. And so I think it's about COVID and butts in seats, bud, to be honest with you.
Great stuff, Shogger. We will chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, you too.